Well, it's a tale that the United States is not too proud of. The French idea were the original, was the original country having an idea to put a dam across the entrance. Because if you didn't do that, the only way you get from one ocean to the other, Atlantic or Pacific, because to go way down to South America, Cape of Good Hope, and come back up to transit from one side of the continent to the other. So the French had this idea. They studied it, and they for reasons that I don't recall at the moment, they discarded Nicaragua. But I read recently that someone is planning on building a canal through Nicaragua because the present canal is too narrow for the large ships. Yeah. When our first inkling of that was, our experience, I should say, was when one of our larger carriers started to go through. And the flare of the carrier knocked off all the lights on the side of the canal. So they removed the others and got him through, and there was the self-made decision. Now, with the history of the Panama Canal is that there was, having decided you're going to put a canal there, and you don't own the land, what do? You take it away from the guy who owns it, which is Colombia. Colombia, at one time, owned all of Panama and all that surrounding land. And I don't know the total history, but we very easily took it away from Panama, from Colombia, and I think the French had done the same thing. Now, one of the reasons for the French failure was the malaria mosquito. It just couldn't keep people alive. They were all catching malaria. And that's what killed it. So the United States recognized this problem after the abandonment. And they had an engineer by the name of Gorgas, G-O-R-G-A-S, after whom the Gorgas Hospital is named in Panama. And Gorgas, I don't know what his specialty was, whether he was a doctor or not, but he was in charge of this thing. And his first job was to get rid of the mosquitoes. Now, a mosquito did not travel very far by himself. The wind may carry him, but he didn't fly very far on a calm day. So Gorgas drained much of the land, the low land, where the mosquitoes were breeding. And he only had to go, let's say, if you had a road going down here, he only had to go in 50, 75 feet with his spraying and his draining to be effective. And that is really the reason for our success. Yeah. So the Gorgas Hospital was a part of the defeat of the mosquito or the treatment of the men.
So why were you there?
I was a young cadet. I had just received my wings at the end of 36. And I was ordered to Panama. We had several squadrons of aircraft down there, seaplanes. At that time, we had the We had the responsibility, let me put it in those words, to guard the entrances of the canal and the preservation of peace in the countries to each side. Because for military purposes, not to speak of the commercial value, we had to have a short way through there. And so we were, in essence, guarding the Panama Canal. And when you guard the wings, that's part of the canal complex. So I was there 3 years. I was there, I liked it down there. You worked tropical hours, 7 to 1. Then you had the rest of the day off. You went up, because I mean that climate down there is enervating, very weak in your view. You don't do much fooling around down there. In the afternoon, you spend most of your time in the pool. Yeah. And then at night, you go to nightclubs. Yeah. An interesting thing, there was a nightclub on the Pacific side. I hope I can remember the name. Run by an American woman. And the sailors, when the fleet would come through, the sailors would be given liberty in both places. And this saloon was had quite a reputation. Fights and everything else in there, yeah. Now in Panama, the official language was Spanish. And when you were arrested, you an American, and taken to court, everybody spoke Spanish. I'll give you an incident on that. I was waiting for my wife to pick me up with our car at the squadron around 1 o'clock. She didn't show up. Finally, she showed up, all upset. We had just gotten a ticket from the Panamanian Police Department. I don't know what particular charge was, but what the event was that there was a rich Greek importer down there. Tagaropoulos, don't ask me to spell it. Tagaropoulos, who was a Greek, had a lot of leverage down there. One of his trucks backed into my wife's car and hit an additional car behind him. We had to be there at a certain hour, which is right now. So we went to court. And they're talking back and forth. And they called my wife up. That's the only time they spoke English. Asked her some questions. She was parked. She wasn't moving. And just as she concluded, a well-dressed Chinese man entered the place. Now, down there, everything's wide open because of the heat. A well-dressed Chinese man who turned out to be a Chinese dentist with a lot of pull. His car had been damaged in the snares. He walked right up to the judge in the middle of everything else, and he and the judge put their heads together. And the judge said, with interpreter, of course, "We're now going to adjourn And we're going to take the cars to a certain garage to see how much it would cost to have them fixed. No verdict. After we did that, went to a garage, both cars. By both cars, I mean the dentist and ours, not the truck that hit us. We went back to the courtroom, and the judge made a judgment in favor of us. Unusual. Why? The Chinese dentist talked him into it. Now, if you were picked up for drunkenness or something, and they throw you in a clink, they hold you. They won't let anybody see you. What's the word I'm looking for? In the incommunicado. So we had an old-time warrant officer down there who was terrific. He made friends with those people. And he used to spring a lot of our men free. If a man didn't go up, we knew he didn't voluntarily run off. Now, he'd go down and comb the jail every day. But anyhow, this saloon over in the Pacific Side. And there used to be fights in there, got a lot of girls and prostitutes and so forth. They made a Victor McLaughlin, is an old-time American actor. Victor McLaughlin, who was a big guy who could hold a machine gun on his hand. He was the star of a picture made down there. And they emulated the fight in the saloon, but the Panamanians blackballed it. Oh yeah, they weren't gonna let anybody see that picture. So it was a typical Hispanic, very typical. If you were on the right team, you could do no wrong, and if you're on the wrong team, you could do no right. But I liked it down there, and I was there when war broke on September the 3rd of 1939, when a German U-boat sank the British cruiser Athenia. And that was the start of World War II. We immediately were ordered to Guantanamo Bay, and you've heard about that. And Guantanamo Bay had a buildings, and it was kept by the people stationed at Guantanamo Bay were caretakers of all these facilities. And we went to Guantanamo Bay for gunnery and bombing practice. You had a great big bay, no population. So we went to sent to Guantanamo Bay to run what they call the neutrality patrol. There's nothing neutral about neutrality patrol. We're as bad as Hispanics. But the British had two light cruisers in the South Atlantic. They roamed all over the South Atlantic, and that includes the Caribbean. And our instructions were to see what was floating out there. In plain English, broadcast to our base station the speed, the type of ship, what it was carrying, if we could tell them. Get the name if you can. We transmit that in plain English. The British squadrons would pick it up and they'd chase it down. One ship they kept chasing back in the Veracruz. Yeah, I don't know whatever happened to them, but. So then, from there, I was there a couple of months, and I was then ordered to Pensacola because as an instructor. But you see, I had already been 3 years in Panama on what is a nominal two-year duty, so the orders were due. And so out of Pensacola, we ran the same neutrality patrols.